WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. It started with a song. First question in tonight's Republican primary debate on Fox News asked Florida Governor Ron DeSantis why rich men north of Richmond is striking a chord with Americans.
Our country is in decline. This decline is not inevitable. It's a choice. We need to send Joe Biden back to his basement and reverse American decline.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie on Bidenomics.
We cannot sit by any longer and allow the kind of spending that's going on in Washington, because every dollar they spend is a dollar that these people are not allowed to spend on their children and their grandchildren. It's robbing our country and it's wrong.
Former President Trump did not participate. Authorities say wildfires have killed 20 people in Greece over the past 3 days. European Union countries assisting with firefighting. At least one person has died after Tropical Storm Franklin brought torrential rain, flooding, and landslides to the Dominican Republic. This is ABC News. Southwest Airlines is now limiting the number of early bird spots passengers can buy in order to jump ahead of other flyers for better seats. These are the songs that made up the soundtrack to summer of 2023.
The liquor talked and we all listened this summer. I know that last night. Morgan Wallen's Last Night was the most streamed song on Spotify in the U.S. this summer, the first time a country song has taken the top spot. And over on the Billboard Songs of Summer chart, Wallen is also poised to be number one for the season. In second on Spotify's chart, it's the song Ella Baila Sola by Esteban Armado and Peso Pluma, which was also the most streamed song worldwide this summer on Spotify. Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer was third in the U.S. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Making history in Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz promoting Natalie Hudson to Chief Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court, making her the first Black Chief Justice in state history. Andy Field, ABC News.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of August, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on August 26th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to 4 times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, the south of Bondwell, and I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rural folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
So my name is Maddie McCoy. I grew up in Green Bay, so I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I own my own business. Both of my grandpas were entrepreneurs. For me, doing something on my own and allowing myself to be myself and be creative, actually impact people and see that I really could do that, has been really special. And I'm really grateful I found it as young as I did. I'm proud of the fact that my grandparents were entrepreneurs, and I get to do my own thing, too.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Palette. More at LatunchiesPalette.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut deep.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. This is a special edition of Native Roots Radio. Haley?
Yes, this portion of the show is supported by Fair Financial. You work hard for every cent you make. You have bills and you have goals. Choose a bank that's going to support you along the way. That's Fair Financial Banking. No overdraft fees, no minimum balance, no credit score required. Call 651-262-2173 to talk to a Fair Financial enroller to open your account today. Keep more of your money. That's Fair. Learn more at www.fairfinancial.org. Fair Financial is a program of Prepare and Prosper, a nonprofit organization, and is not a bank. Banking services are provided by Sunrise Banks, N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, Haley, you know why I call this a special show?
Tell me, Robert.
Well, first of all, we're going to be introing a repeat of Native Roots Radio after this segment, but it's really special because, one, we're going to be at the fair, so we're getting ready for the fair, and we wanted to say hello and talk about a few things before we go to the repeat and the rest of the show. And also, we're going to be at the fair, the Native Roots Trading Post, and also in the West End Market, and we're going to do the show there Thursday and Friday at the very least. And then on Sunday, it's in Indigenous Peoples Day at Dan Patch Park, and that starts at 9 and ends at 5, and we're excited to talk about that and let people know about that. Our friend Trisha Cook, who's a Red Lake Band of Chippewa tribal member, and she's a comedian and a local entertainer. She's going to be hosting a panel exploring Indigenous history, and you know, so there's going to be dancing by some people there. It's going to be exciting, you know.
Yeah. And if you don't know where Dan Patch Park is located at the Minnesota State Fair grounds, it is actually right in front of the grandstand and the mural park right next to that. If you're looking at the grandstand, it's to the left of the ramp going up there. Also just kind of by the horse barn as well and the DNR building. So I believe that is right off of Carnes Avenue.
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. And we'll try and make it out there. And it's exciting because we have our Mexican brothers and sisters will be out there doing danza and dancing. We'll have there's food showing how to make native food. There's just a lot of cool things happening, and we're excited to let everybody know, and it's fair time, and really excited about that. This is, it's going to be really hot, but it's going to be cooling down by the time of the fair. So I'm stoked for that because, you know, Haley, I'm a little old there, and the heat gets to me now.
Yeah, I know. I have to forget Boomer Bobby. I can say that, though, because I'm your too junk. But yeah, so Indigenous Peoples Day comes to the Minnesota State Fair, and that is actually sponsored by North American Traditional Indigenous Food Systems, which is a Minneapolis nonprofit. And the all-day event will include something for everybody. So guest chefs will be present at the event to give cooking demonstrations on Indigenous foods and drinks, such as the Minnesota wild rice and corn tortillas and herbal tea. So I'm excited
to sum it up. You know, it's fun, too. We can't mention prices or anything, but, you know, Native Roots Trading Post does have Leech Lake wild rice there for available, and come down and get that, too, because we ran out last year. That's how intense it is. And then, you know, on a darker side of this, with this drought, wild rice, there's, you know, issues with that, you know, when we're droughting, because it's part, you know, it's grown in the water, and when there's less water, there's less wild rice. So come on down and get that, and then check out how to cook it up there at this at the Dan Patch Park with Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah, and again, that's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and admission is free, included with the ticket price to get into the fair. So
yeah, definitely. Well, so we're going to be doing the show, Haley. And I don't know, do you want to give any kind of hint? You don't have to say what it is, but what a hint of what's going to be on the rest of the show before, and then we go live on Thursday at the Minnesota State Fair.
Yes. So on this rebroadcasted episode, we will be replaying a episode that we previously did with Reservation Dogs, the cast of Reservation Dogs. So, and that is currently on season 3 is airing right now. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched any of that is on Hulu. So go and check that out. It's amazing, amazingly written show. And it's all Native writers, producers, cast.
Yeah, it's fun. And if you go onto my Facebook, the person that was on last week, and he plays, well, he's been an actor for a long time. But he is one of the things. It was the 50th anniversary of Wounded Knee, right? And he was there, and I'll tell you his name in a second, but he was there, and he was at Wounded Knee. Not only is he a great actor, but he's also on Reservation Dogs. And it's amazing that... You know, I'm looking at IMDb right now, and they have it's a 8.2 on IMDb with over 20,000 people that have looked at or have watched and done anything on that, and it's amazing. It really, really is amazing.
Yes, and you know, a lot of their episodes really accurately portray the stories that us as Native Americans and Indigenous people all around Turtle Island have experienced. And I think that the way that they tell those stories is such a real, raw and emotional way to do it. But I think that's exactly how it needs to be done. So bravo to them for that. I am sad that it is the last season, but also I think everything good must come to an end before it's too late. So
yeah, you know, and I agree with what you said there. And maybe we'll have spinoffs, and you know, there's articles out there that Willie Jack's character is really I don't want to say taken off, but it really has a spiritual end to this. And that was one of the shows that they were talking about, was that, you know, what's she going to be doing? Everyone's kind of getting into their jam of what's happening. You know, we have one of the characters that's thinking about going to school and, you know, and going back to school. And then Willie Jack was asking this person if they could teach their medicine. And we know there was a powerful show that had medicine in it last year when Willie Jack went and visited her aunt, and she had all those ancestors behind her. So really interesting. And I know you really like that show.
I do. Yeah. And, you know, with it coming to end, I really just hope that this opens up more of a playing field for us to see people like us be represented in media and films and TV shows, because, you know, we're still here and we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. And we really appreciate Reservation Dogs and all the work that they're doing. You know, we had Dallas Goldtooth on, and we had Bobby Wilson on, who, you know, we all know Dallas for all his work and environmental stuff, and also being a 1491er. Bobby Wilson, that's been on, he was a former student, also a 1491er, and that comedy troupe, and they've really expanded into this, and they're doing such a great job, and we can't wait till the rest of the year, and what else comes up with this, you know, spinoffs for sure, you know. So, hey, we're going to be at the fair, and I want you guys, everyone out here, to enjoy the repeat of Native Roots Radio coming up next, and then Thursday we'll be at the fair, and then Friday too. So Haley's going to be working really hard schlepping all that equipment at the fair, but you know, she enjoys it, right?
Absolutely. Come say hi.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Peeny Geegee for listening to the Native Roots Radio. We are so excited to have Dallas Goldtooth on, who's 1491er, Reservation Dogs now. We are so excited, but I just want to welcome Dallas Goldtooth on here and say a heartfelt Peeny Geegee thank you for all you did during Standing Rock. Those daily updates that you did really helped us feel safe when we did come to Standing Rock. So I just want to welcome Dallas Goldtooth to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Ahamata KP, good to see everybody. And I really appreciate that. It's good to know that the work that I did and many others did, it really helped those who couldn't be at Standing Rock or those who did go. So thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, wow, and we're excited to have you here. I just want to get into this phenomenon called reservation dogs. We can't stop talking about it, and we just want to back up. We had Bobby Wilson on, who was just on the last show, and also I understand is one of the writers too that you've worked with for many, many years. Talk us through that experience and your experience with reservation dogs.
Well, first of all, I can't stand Bobby Wilson. I just can't stand. I hate that guy. Just kidding. No, I've worked with Bobby for a number of years. Actually, Bobby and I worked together at Undayung, which is a youth shelter there in, up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And that's where we first met. And ever since those days, we've had the immense privilege to travel all across this country, performing comedy for Native communities. And it just feels so good to see where we've come. You know, we started off with doing one of our first shows was at, up in White Earth for the tribal council, and we got paid $200 each, and it was the really most pitiful, humble show. And now we can say we are writing TV shows on TV. So it's pretty awesome to see that journey.
It's awesome, and for us, it's great to see. I know Lewis always talks about when we're on the show and we talk about events like your show, how important it is for us as Native people to be out there. It's almost like I'm old. I'm 60 years old, so it's almost like watching the Flintstones, where there's two comedy shows going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's outrageousness, but there's always a lot of winking to us Natives, you know, watching this.
Yeah, you know, Reservation Dogs is a pretty phenomenal project to be a part of, and I'm so grateful for that. And I think that the showrunner, Sterling Harjo, which is another brother of mine that is one of the co-founders of the 1491s, you know, he's gone to above and beyond the call of duty to make sure that the show not only has, you know, Native topics and Native issues expressed, but that the folks behind the scenes are also Native. Like, when I was on set, it's crazy, like, folks behind the camera, people holding the microphones, folks building the sets, the stuntmen, like, they're all Native. And that was because the crew intentionally went out and made sure that Native folks were in a part of every aspect of the show. And I think that comes across, you know. I think I've been hearing a lot of responses where people feel like, hey, this may be taking place in Oklahoma, but it feels very familiar to wherever I'm from as well. So that's really great to hear.
Yeah, and the rapper dudes are great. Those guys are hilarious when they're coming in, straightening out the kids and what's up and what they're. He's the one that, I guess they're the ones that named them Reservation Dogs, which it was interesting. In the very first show, you could see in the young man, I can't think of his character's name, but he had a reservation or Reservoir Dogs poster in his bedroom when he was sleeping. And I went, okay, cool.
Yeah, you know what? I've always talked about this with a lot of friends. Like, whenever you get a bunch of Natives around and we're all in a group, like, what typically happens is people start quoting movies that they've seen or talking about the movies. I mean, growing up, I grew up on the Lower Sioux Res and the Yankton Sioux Res in South Dakota and Minnesota. Spent some time up in Southside Minneapolis as a kid. And back in the day, you didn't have the internet, you didn't have anything, but what you did have is the ability to talk about the movies that you rented or the movies that you saw. And so even to this day, I think that that's an aspect of how we interact that we wanted to put into that show, of all these little side references to the influential stories that we grew up with, right? Everything from the movie Willow, which is referenced in the name, the Laura Dannon, to Reservoir Dogs. Like, these are very influential pieces of art that informed our comedy and informed the way we tell stories.
So how much ad lib were you able to do? Or are you doing like the script? Because I just thought it was hilarious when you introduced yourself and then you were talked about how you were at the Battle of Greasy Hill and then your horse hit a gopher hole, but you were, you know, looking at, you know, and then you gave all the names of Custer and it was like, it was hilarious. And how much was that ad libbed and how much did you write or how much are you acting right off the paper or script?
I would say what you saw in the show is about maybe 50-50. Like it's so edited in a way that I'd say about more than half of it was improv'd. You know, the script is amazing. The scripts for the entire show are pretty well put together. But the way Sterling works, I've worked with him for years on 1491s. He's very supportive of improv. And so when we're shooting any scenes, he's like, oh, do this, try this out. How about you just do whatever you want? And so like shooting that first episode, I was ad-libbing doing improv for maybe 40 minutes. And what you saw was like a minute and a half. So a lot got cut out, but I'm pretty happy to what was in there.
it was hilarious. Does any Ogama or Lewis, do you have any questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Dallas, thank you again for coming on Native Roots Radio. You know, growing up in Rapid City and east side of St. Paul, you know, the very sacred way I grew up in the city or on in Rapid, you know, we didn't have Native representation on TV, you know, and as Lakota Dakota Sioux people, I mean, we were kind of appropriated by Hollywood as it is, so fighting that trope. And one thing I really enjoyed about 1491s is you guys deconstructing that sacred stoic Indian trope, you know, and mm-hmm. going on and just being real people. And growing up seeing people like Charlie Hill and comedy really for me said, hey man, there's someone that looks like me that's on TV. And one thing that's happened with my son, he's 12 years old, he's like such a great fan of your big fan of yours, he's like, wow, there's someone like us on TV. What does that mean to you as a person growing up the way, you know, I'm sure we all grew up kind of similar, you know, not seeing representation, especially in comedy on TV. And what does that mean for you going forward here?
Well, I think that, you know, no matter what, whether we're seen in mainstream TV or not, we're still here. We still exist. And our voices still matter. I think that there's this inherent power to claim space, to take back space, and I guess I don't want to downplay. I totally don't want to downplay the power of seeing somebody that looks like you, or hearing or watching stories that sound like stories that you grew up with. I think that those are tremendous things that we should be grateful for. I think that the bigger part of this though is the power to reclaim how we talk about ourselves, the power to like challenge what people think about Native folks. I think that that's where I really am. I'm excited for like this opportunity. Like my character in a TV show and in Reservation Dogs is a great prime example of us kind of redefining what does the Native warrior look like and mean, right? Because it's basically what you see is our twisted imagination redefining that age old trope of the stoic Indian warrior. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy to, like, it feels good that that there's gonna be young folks out there that will see it. I don't know if it's age appropriate, but hey, you're the Native parent here, okay? You're probably letting your kids run around right now as we speak. So
judge me, please.
That's awesome. Hey, we only got a minute left in the segment, Dallas, but do you have the capacity to do another segment with us on Native Roots Radio?
Absolutely.
Wow. We're with Dallas Goldtooth of Reservation Dogs and 1491. And I just got to say also, too, a big peeny geegee for your father. He's up there fighting Lion 3. And it's just amazing what your family has done over the years. And I'm just so proud and happy to have you on the show, really. Why don't we take a quick break here? You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Wendy, what
Affordable, healthy, and culturally appropriate food is accessible right in the heart of the American Indian Cultural Corridor at Four Sisters Farmers Market. They embrace inclusivity and accessibility at Four Sisters, accepting SNAP and EBT benefits, market bucks, guest produce market bucks, cash, and cards. So enjoy the abundance of fresh food regardless of your payment method at Four Sisters Farmers Market. Open Thursdays until October from 11 to 3 at 1414 East Frank.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. It started with a song. First question in tonight's Republican primary debate on Fox News asked Florida Governor Ron DeSantis why rich men north of Richmond is striking a chord with Americans.
Our country is in decline. This decline is not inevitable. It's a choice. We need to send Joe Biden back to his basement and reverse American decline.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie on Bidenomics.
We cannot sit by any longer and allow the kind of spending that's going on in Washington, because every dollar they spend is a dollar that these people are not allowed to spend on their children and their grandchildren. It's robbing our country, and it's wrong.
Former President Trump did not participate. Authorities say wildfires have killed 20 people in Greece over the past 3 days. European Union countries assisting with firefighting. At least one person has died after Tropical Storm Franklin brought torrential rain, flooding, and landslides to the Dominican Republic. This is ABC News.
We're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, the south of Bondo. And I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rural folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us, at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
So my name is Maddie McCoy. I grew up in Green Bay, so I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I own my own business. Both of my grandpas were entrepreneurs. For me, doing something on my own and allowing myself to be myself and be creative, actually impact people and see that I really could do that, has been really special. And I'm really grateful I found it as young as I did. I'm proud of the fact that my grandparents were entrepreneurs and I get to do my own thing too.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM.
What we're dealing here with, and I'm sure you're plugged in because your father's very involved with Stop Line 3 here in Minnesota. What are your thoughts and what are you hearing around Turtle Island?
Well, first and foremost, I want to give shout out and love to all the water protectors who've been putting their lives on the line, risking arrest, who have been holding Enbridge accountable for the destruction of our planet, our climate, our wild rice beds, our sacred waterways. And, you know, those are the true warriors, are the true heroes in this fight. You know, and there's a lot of folks in a lot of the camps that, you know, we could spend an entire couple of hours just talking about who all needs to get recognized. But collectively, this is Indigenous resistance that we're seeing, and we need to support that at all costs. It's heartbreaking to see that Enbridge has gotten this far with no accountability from the state or the federal government. And, you know, this is there's a whole range of issues, treaty rights, water rights. But in the grand scope of things, our planet is burning. Our planet is literally on the edge of death, or actually is on the edge of being able to sustain life on this planet, especially us as human beings. And, you know, I think that this is a call, if I could say anything to our audience, whether they're Native or non-Native, now's the time to step up. Like, I know if people feel anxiety. I know you feel overwhelmed. You're like, I'm just one person. I don't know what to do. But here's a chance to do something, whether it's calling out your politicians to step up, whether it's divesting from banks, whatever it may be. There's a lot of action that can happen, because honestly, we're at the brink. And if you're Indigenous, you're Native, you're Dakota, you're Ho-Chunk, you're Menominee, or you're Anishinaabe, we have original instructions that have told us that we have a responsibility to care for our mother. So here's a chance for us to do that. You know, the construction's not over, and folks are asking for people to go up north if you can. Please stand on the line. If not, talk to your tribal leaders, call them, send them a message. They're probably your cousin. They're probably on Facebook right now. Ask them, what are they doing about line 3? So it's a chance. That's what I got to say. You know, it's a little spiel. I don't know if you asked for it, but that's my little speech to our relatives out there.
I did ask for it. And we normally, and we're going to do a little different show today because we have you on, but we normally start our show off with 10 minutes of news, and Ogama does the news, and we do a news report. And every day we're talking about line 3 and what's happening around Turtle Island. Ogama, do you have a question for Dallas?
Yeah, I do have a question for Dallas. You know, you've been working with these issues for a really long time, both under your father, which I believe is Tom Goldtooth, who helped found Indigenous Environmental Network. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He was the executive director. It was founded by Indigenous grandmothers and youth. But yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for telling me that. But yes, so the Goldtooth family has been involved in environmental activism and work for a long time. What was it like growing up being surrounded by that? I'm a parent, and my daughter, I camped out to stop line 3 like 7 years ago in northern Minnesota in Leonard. And she's 8 now. And this has been something that's been involved, that she's seen me involved with her entire life. And she considers herself a water protector. But what is that like for you, you know, looking back as an adult, how that was during your childhood and your formative years where you have parents who are doing this work?
I think it was a privilege. I mean, I own that. Like, it was a privilege to have grown up around so many well-spoken leaders, you know, being around a lot of activists and organizers. And so I don't want to squander that. I don't want to just like ignore that privilege. And I feel like there's a certain responsibility that I have to take what I've learned and heard over the years and share that and use that as a way to encourage others to step up. I'm not perfect. Able to do all the things I want to do, nor am I able to do the things that people want me to do as well. So I think that if there's anything I've learned over the years, is that we have to have a lot of compassion and empathy for those who are willing to take risks, those who have take risks, and those who don't have any choice but to take risks, and really understand that in the end of the day, we're all human beings just trying to do our very best with the instructions that we've been given through our ceremonies and teachings and songs and so forth. So, and appreciate you for coming out and going up to Leonard to stand there. That's really awesome to hear. So, but yeah, thank you. Good. It's a good question.
Well, thank you for answering that. Yeah, Leonard was a long time ago. I like to joke that we camped out before Standing Rock, so we made it cool. And I don't know if you were there. I feel like that would have been probably the first time I would have interacted with you, would have been sometime around that point. My uncle was working closely with Indigenous Environmental Network at the time. Marty Copenace was my uncle. Mm-hmm. So he got my father involved with it, who then in turn got my sister and I involved, and we were expecting. And now here we are again, 7-8 years later. And the fact is that we're still fighting this now. I mean, the Line 3 mm-hmm. project has been ongoing for in upwards of 10 years now, that Native people especially have been putting it out there that this is a terrible idea for the planet and for treaty rights. Is there any one particular issue that you've worked with or that you've dealt with that hits closer to home than any other issue?
Well, Keystone XL was a major fight. And I wanted to say this, Marty Copenace is an unsung hero in this fight. We would not have gotten a win against Keystone XL Pipeline if it wasn't for Marty Copenace. I'll say that now. He's a Red Lake tribal citizen, is a public servant up in northern Minnesota, and does not get enough credit. He was the first one that went out and rode the line on Keystone XL and made a connection between white landowners and Native folks and trying to get them together on the same page. And so I just want to give your uncle a lot of love and recognition here in this space for being a major part of that win on Keystone XL, as well as being a part of the original fight against Line 3 and Alberta Clipper and other projects that Enbridge has tried to shove through illegally in northern Minnesota. I think that, you know, of course we could talk about Standing Rock, but I really would actually, I was not involved in whatsoever, but what something I saw was the protest down in Mauna Kea, down in Hawaii. And one thing I want to bring up there and just to point out is that was a place where you saw, for those that followed the protest at Mauna Kea against the TMT telescope, is that we saw folks who took peaceful civil disobedience, peaceful direct action, put their bodies in line and got arrested, but it was elders. It was older Native folks who started that off. They held that line. I say that and I bring that up because so often our communities and cultures now, we're like, oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, that's too risky. Or no, elders shouldn't be doing that. Well, it's all a matter of how you define action and whether we're defining it in non-Native terms or we're putting it within our own context. And we saw there Kanaka Maoli, Hawaiian elders take a stand. And I was like, I'm just use that as a source of inspiration for other communities who want to take action and step up. That's all I guess I got to say about that.
Yeah, that's really a good point. We had a reporter giving us updates every week on what was happening there. KL Kelly, who's down there and calling in. Yeah, really good point. We only got a few more minutes left, but I would like to just circle back. Oh, wow. Wait a minute. Circle the wagons. What? No, I'd like to circle back to reservation dogs. And I just want to say something that you mentioned too. I feel like it has a lot of heart too. And it brings me back when we talked about movies like Smoke Signals, kind of a vibe with how some of them are being hit with their heart, with what's going on, and especially the last series too, with you know, trying to help people. I also, Bobby Wilson, now I'm rambling, Bobby Wilson mentioned too that he really liked the fact that we're getting piecemealed instead of just devouring the show of 10 episodes and being done in a day. I really like looking forward to next Monday and seeing the next one. I love that, Dallas.
Oh, I'm looking forward to everybody watching the rest of the season. There's 8 episodes in this season. So when we get to the 4th episode, that's halfway through it. And, you know, my character comes back at some point, and I look forward to see how people react to that. And there's just a lot in the show. Like, we have a lot more cameos from other Native actors in this. And, yeah, I'm just really stoked. I'm really, really excited. So if folks can watch it, it's on FX on Hulu. And, yeah, I'm just excited. I'm excited.
We're excited, and we're really been excited to have you on. I think what's really, really cool is like Bobby Wilson swore about 10 times. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do some swearing here at the very end so Ogama can edit this. So go for it.
Well, do you know what I think about Anishinaabe people? They're No, you can bleep that all out, okay?
I can make that work.
That's what I think about Anishinaabe people. I love them. They're truly, truly powerful, powerful peoples. I just say that because I'm from Minnesota, and we're outnumbered, even though you're on Dakota land.
Right, and don't forget the Ho-Chunk have been here long.
Hey, Ho-Chunk. Hey, I'm part Ho-Chunk. I got family for Ho-Chunk. So
right on. Yeah. Well, I'm a legislator in District 4. I'm in the government now.
Dang.
I know.
Big time now.
Lewis is going to give me a big belt buckle. I got to find a cowboy hat.
Yeah. In that way.
Yeah, in that way. Ahoo.
Peeny Geeky for being on. We were with Dallas Goldtooth, the Reservation Dogs, 1491ers, and just an all-around great guy. And hope to see you soon and maybe catch up again later on in the season. Peeny Geeky, thank you so much for being on.
Hey, appreciate you all. Thank you so much. You have a good day.
Your neighbors are talking about the Blue Line Extension, connecting North Minneapolis, Crystal, Robbinsdale, and Brooklyn Park to the light rail transit system.
The Blue Line allows us to actually connect people in real time to this community. Instead of bypassing it, they're going to stop and shop. They're going to stop and play. They're going to stop and work. Blue Line is a connector.
Hear more of this story and others at yourblueline.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Attention art enthusiasts, experience Laura Youngbird's indie Wisigindum, My Heart Hurts, a solo exhibition by Laura Youngbird presented by All My Relations Arts this summer. All My Relations Arts aims to foster connections between contemporary American Indian artists, preceding generations, diverse audiences, and the vitality of the American Indian cultural corridor. Laura Youngbird is a talented artist from the Minnesota Chippewa Grand Portage Band that uses the dress as a metaphor to address social issues, injustices, and biases. Through mixed media combining drawing, painting, and prints, Laura explores the dress as a powerful symbol in her work, revealing layers of meaning. Her series examines mixed emotions and themes like common threads, loose ends, and vulnerability. And you can see Laura Youngbird's Inde Wisigindum, My Heart Hurts, all summer through September 9th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Plan your visit and let the moving art speak to your heart. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Blessed here to have Bobby Wilson of Rutherford Falls, 1491ers, and also of Reservation Dogs. And let's finish up our conversation a little bit, Bobby. Thank you so much for being on again. Let's finish up. We're wrapping up the season of Rutherford Falls, and you're about to do some voiceover work, some dubbing. And then how fun is this, Mr. Hollywood, huh?
Oh man, you know, how fun is it? Shoot, man. I can't quantify it, but these are the best days of my life.
right on. So how many, do you know how many shows Rutherford Falls is going to have when their season opens? Is it 8 again?
Yeah, it's an 8 episode season.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's go into Reservation Dogs, and I know that's a huge hit in you guys were re-upped for another season. I think, I guess my first question is, how did it feel as working with as Jumbo working with Mr. Farmer. I mean, I'm like enamored with you, but I can't imagine working with him and thinking nothing but smoke signals.
Yeah, man. I Gary Farmer is a legend, not just for Indians, but for, I realized, for white people who are super into cinema, Gary Farmer is still a legend. I mean, look at his filmography, you know, Dead Man, the Jim Jarmusch film from way back, starring him and Johnny Depp. And really, more than Johnny Depp, that is Gary Farmer's movie. He's incredible in like everything that he does. And so like he's actually in an episode of Rutherford Falls season one. He plays my uncle. We don't actually interact together in that episode, but I remember the set writer, and mind you, this man, the set writer, the production writer that day, he was like a joke writer for Kimmel. He was he's been writing on big network comedies for many, many years. And he comes to me and he says, dude, like, that's Gary Farmer, and I want to give him a note, but also, like, I kind of don't. I'm a little bit scared to talk to him. I'm like, why are you scared to talk to him? He goes, are you kidding me? Have you seen Dead Man? Like, that's Gary Farmer. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So it was fun. Like, I think if this was my first time with him, I might have been a little bit more nervous. But I've had weird, like, run-ins with Gary Farmer because he's just that legendary over the years. The first time I ever went to Santa Fe, New Mexico, I saw him perform as Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, his band. Wow. And, he was like his own roadie, and me, Sterling Harjo, and, Ryan Redcorn got like shamed into, like, cause we were like standing there watching him, and it was like, wow, man, how old do you think he is? Look at that. He's so big. He's like carrying all his own equipment still. And somebody says, well, go over there and help him. That's your elder. And we were like, oh, shit. We all got up. And like, yeah, we went over, helped him out. And I was like, wow, that's Victor's dad. And then, you know, I would always see him just like randomly in places. I ran into him once in the Twin Cities at the Indian Center. I like freaking seen him just like on the streets in Santa Fe, just bopping around. And then to have him in Reservation Dogs was absolutely phenomenal. I had been in love with this character already, Uncle Brownie. Like, I knew exactly, like, this is gonna be amazing. This is such a crazy character, and what a, like, to get Gary Farmer to play that character, what a blessing, what a trip. And I'll tell you what, man, that scene, I'm smoking him down. You know, he's trying to sell me his old weed that he found, that he buried in his lawn like years ago. You know what I mean? And sorry, I said I wouldn't cuss. I keep forgetting. It's just my natural way of speaking. But so he goes to the dispensary, and my character Jumbo is like, I can't buy this, man. Like, or no, I test it out, and it just like kills my throat. I'm just
like, harsh dog.
And he's all good stuff, yeah. And yeah. I'm like, no, man, no, I can't buy this, you know. And it's an antique. And then Paulina Willie Jack, she goes, hey Jumbo, like, why don't you smoke Uncle down? And I'm like, oh, I got something for you. I pull out this big bong, and you know, it's funny. Like on the set, we're not smoking actual like THC weed, but we are smoking weed. But it's like the O'Doul's of weed. It's just CBD. It's purely CBD. There's no like whatever the stuff that gets you stoned.
You know? Yeah.
But it's actual like weed and plant, you know? And so mm-hmm. like we stuff it in there. And Gary tells me right before we start filming that part, he goes, I'm going to, I can't just fake it. I can't fake it. It's not going to look good. It's not going to look good. And, you know, people are like, you don't have to hit it. You don't have to hit it, Gary. It's mm-hmm. it's fine. Like, he's got an actual lighter. He can actually hit it. It's a real bong. And he's like, they're like, we'll just, you know, with effects, we'll make the smoke come out. It'll look real. And he's like, no, it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad. So I'm actually going to hit it. And I see him go for it. He fills uh-huh. that whole bong full of smoke all the way up. And I'm like, oh my, fills the whole bong up. He pulls that sucker out and he freaking clears it. All the smoke goes up and he just, like coughs his smoke everywhere. And like inside I'm going, oh my God, like this man is going to die. But I don't want to mess up the scene because he just did this crazy thing. And so I'm just like, hey, you know, really just trying to play into it and not ask him if he's okay and wants to sit down. And he looks at me in his eyes. He's just like, there's just tears running down his eyes. There's snot coming out of his nose. He's drooling. And he goes, it's good stuff.
That's awesome.
Poor guy.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, no, you know, it was amazing.
You know, from the days of Powwow Highway to, you know, it's just, it's really great to see.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Way-o, way-o.
Can you hear me?
Everybody say way-o. Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. Okay, go. Wow. Bobby, that was a great story. Just working with those icons and the Native American voice getting out there in comedy. And I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. We got another minute or two here. Can you just, are you excited for Reservation Dogs like I am? What's the vibe going on?
Oh man, I am so freaking pumped about season two. It is bananas. Like getting a second season of a show, like gives you so much permission to do so much more, especially with how successful season one was of Reservation Dogs. It's like, going into we start filming in Oklahoma in mid March and we're gonna go until May. I get to be on set this whole time as a production writer, which I'm super pumped and super nervous for. But it's gonna be great. I can't wait. You know, I got Miguel Z. Pensino and Tazba Chavez as my cohort for production writers. So. You know, they've got a lot of seasoned experience on me. So I'm so freaking excited to see how insane this thing is.
If you need an old Ho-Chunk to come down and do a cameo, let me know. I'll fly down on the first plane.
Yeah.
Choka pilot.
We'll see you there, Choka. Yeah. I can't wait for the junior elder scene. Do I bring him a plate? Do I not? I don't know.
Yeah, he gets his own, I think.
Yeah.
or the junior elder like myself, like just looks sad when the other elders are getting their plates. So yeah. I'll practice doing that. But yeah, appreciate you spending some time with us. And really, you're making us here. I know you're an old and a young employee, too. I got to give you a shout out on that. You and Dallas, which blows my mind. That organization's still going on. And I have a lot of former students that are working there. And and it's a great legacy that you had.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's freaking crazy to think about. Staying at Endy Young as a teenager, and then now I'm just like, I don't know, writing TV and getting flown around to be on it. I'm freaking blessed, man.
You are, and my
ancestors every day.
Pini Gigi, you are blessed, and we're blessed to have you on. And thank you so much for all you do, and all the good words and the great spirit that comes through you and your characters and your writing. I really, really appreciate this time.
Outfront Minnesota is a driving force behind LGBTQ+ advocacy in our state, and they're gearing up to honor our state's monumental achievements in protecting our LGBTQ+ neighbors. While other states took steps backwards, Minnesota had the greatest advance in LGBTQ+ rights in 10 years. We showed that Minnesota is committed to affirming our values as a state that trusts individuals to make informed decisions about their bodies and lives, while also taking pride in delivering exceptional health care and supporting communities in need. We passed a conversion therapy ban and a trans refuge bill. And now Upfront Minnesota is ready to lead Minnesota towards even a brighter future. To celebrate, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year.
I was crossing the street when I met the love of my life. I chased after her. Nothing would stand in my way. Not the dog walker, nor the hot dog vendor. Finally reaching her, I asked, "What do you call that amazing smell?"
It's It's Gain Flings.
Gain Flings. My love had a name, but more importantly, it had a scent.
Fall in love with Gain Flings. Seriously good scent. Gain Flings with 50% more freshness ingredients versus leading bargain detergent.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Oh my gosh, it's more fun than a big block of Colby or Cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
AB.